Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so when you get the opportunity, swing on over there, see what's going on. You never know what the heck else might just pop up, so stop by for a visit, see what you like. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh. All right, I don't know. Where are we starting today?
How much do you like Clayton Kershaw's attention?
Clayton Kershaw's what?
Extension deal.
Okay, I don't want to talk about it. All right, how about this one? Seven guys got qualifying offers, Dan. How many are going to take them? You know who got them?
No, I forgot to look.
All right. The Astros gave one to Clayton Kershaw. You got me going. Dallas Keuchel. No surprise the Nationals gave one to Bryce Harper. The Red Sox extended one to Craig Kimbrell. The Diamondbacks gave out two, Patrick Corbin and A.J. Pollock. And the Dodgers gave out two, Hyunjin Ryu and Yasmani Grandal. $17.9 million is the qualifying offer for the salary this year, or this coming year, I should say. Who takes it?
Grandal.
So yeah, he seems like a pretty obvious choice, doesn't he?
I think he'd be crazy not to.
So yeah, I can't see anybody giving him more than that out there. Of course, you know, I wondered the same thing about like the injury-prone guys like Pollock and Ryu as well. Pollock has been talked about, you know, when he's healthy is one of the better guys out there, but the big key to that sentence is when he's healthy. And, you know, while Ryu did well in the playoffs, he had another injury-plagued year. So you got to wonder if maybe one of those two guys grabs it.
Yeah, maybe Pollock, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, with Ryu's issues, being a pitcher, he can still –
So yeah, and then you know, obviously, by doing this, you know, it's just kind of making sure they're going to get a little something back. What is do you remember what the compensation is now?
Oh, it's like second round draft picks. It depends. It's not as like, you know, is than it was before. But it all depends on where, you know, what the team that picks them, you know, takes them up. So it's like, let's just say, you know, anybody gets picked up by the Royals or the White Sox, it would be like a second-round draft pick or somewhere in there. Give me a few minutes. I might pull that up. It all depends on the position of the team that taking him.
Yeah, you did mention Kershaw's new deal. Yeah, 3 years and 3 million. So basically, more or less, he just kind of added a year, didn't he? I mean, he had 2 years left that he opted out of. So, but yeah, there looks like there's some interesting incentives. He'll get an extra $1 million each when he reaches 24, 26, 28, and 30 starts. So he can add $4 million that way. He'll also pick up $1.5 million if he wins the Cy Young, and then $500,000 for finishing either first or second. So, you know, if he's healthy, he can, you know, he can definitely pick up some added bonuses in the contract there. And, you know, they did say there is no opt-out in this one, so he's there for the next 3 years. You know, that puts him with the Dodgers till he is, I got to see how old he is here. He'll be 31 in March, so he'll be with the Dodgers till he's 33. You know, I guess he could still go out and get a 4 or 5 year deal after that for big money if he wanted it, right?
If he continues to perform, you know, Uncle Bob, a big football guy, not huge into baseball. I thought it was a stupid signing by the Dodgers, you know, because of his velocity being down. I don't take Kershaw for being a dumb jock. So I think, you know, and I don't mean to categorize, you know, the players, but, you know, with baseball, it's a little bit more of a thinking game than it is as football is, where it's more of a following. Where you're taking orders, you're almost like the army in the sense where you just take the orders, and you know, once you get the ball in your hands and you're running, that's when it's open. But you know, I think with baseball, I think with Kershaw, despite his velocity being down, he can still adjust and figure the game out.
How many left-handers have you heard called crafty? So, you know.
I mean, but do you think with his velocity being down, the fact that he's not throwing 99 miles an hour is going to be a hindrance over the next 3 years?
No, you know, because I got a feeling with a full off season of rest and just regular workouts, by the time they roll back around the next year, some of that velocity will be back. You know, remember, he dealt with a couple injuries during the season. So, you know, anytime a guy is fully healthy and, you know, even, you know, he's throwing 92, 93, that's plenty enough to be successful with the other stuff he has. You know, he doesn't need to be a 100-mile-an-hour guy. So, you know, I don't think that would be would be a big issue there. So, you know, he'll still be able to get guys out and win, you know, 18 to 20 games if he's healthy. So, all right. Well, Dan, you ready for the hot new Japanese sensation to hit Major League Baseball?
Yes, I am.
I am going to butcher this like it's nobody's business, but I'm going with Yusei Kikuchi is how I'm calling it. He is a left-handed, he's a 27-year-old left-handed pitcher who spent eight seasons with the Cebu Lions. He was 14-4 last year. He signed with an agency today, Dane. You know who he signed with?
The Boris.
Yes, the Boris Corporation. They will represent him in his negotiations. Interestingly, Dan, as I'm going through the article, it mentions that he has had some shoulder issues. And isn't reputed to have an arsenal as impressive as those of Yu Darvish or Masahiro Tanaka. Pretty much is what they're saying. You know, he doesn't apparently have the stuff as them, as good as stuff of them. You know, people are expecting him to roll in at about 6 years at $42 million. are you paying $42 million to this guy who has had shoulder trouble and isn't as good as Darvish or Tanaka?
No, not one bit.
I get it. He's 27, so he's still young, but he's done his share of pitching in Japan. He's thrown over 1,000 innings there. So, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things you look at and you're kind of like, okay, who's gonna cough up the dough here and take the shot with this guy? But I find it interesting that he went with Boris. So we'll have to see how long it takes him to get signed, right?
February.
So yeah, because he's definitely a guy who's got to be in spring training, right? He can't, if he sits out. I mean, nobody's going to sign him, are they?
No, it'd be kind of crazy too, unless you plan on sending him to the minors all year. And you asked me about the qualifying offer, and
yes, it's
Section B of blah blah blah, basically former club compensation. And I mean, it's different for every single level. For instance, the Astros, if Keuchel doesn't sign with them, they receive, I think, a draft pick after the fourth round or something. So I mean, it's different for every single team. And if you're part of the revenue sharing, if you get if you get paid by the revenue sharing, then you get a better draft pick. But no one has one in the first round. You get it, essentially the highest one you can get is immediately following the last selection in the competitive balance round B. So, 1 through 30 or 32 gets their draft pick, and then the competitive balance get their, I forget how many there are. I think there's like 8 or 10 maybe. I could be way off on that. And then they get their draft picks. But then, the more games you won or more money you've paid, it changes for every club. So for each one of those 7 guys, it's going to be completely different.
No.
So maybe, and maybe that's why I think we won't be seeing as many qualifying offers.
Yeah, and then while we were talking about Scott Boras, he did get one client signed already, believe it or not, Trevor Rosenthal. Mm-hmm. If you remember him, he was the Cardinals closer. Well, I guess you could go back a couple years. He started having arm trouble in 2016. 2017, he did pitch 50 games, but he had more injuries. They were so bad he didn't pitch at all last year. He had a showcase, Dan, as they put it here, and the Nationals have inked him to a deal. So Washington, I guess, trying to rebuild that bullpen. So it looks like Trevor Rosenthal is the first piece. When he was healthy in the Cardinals closer, like in 2015, he did say 48 games with a 2.10 ERA. The year before that, he had 45. The ERA was a little higher at 3.20. But, yeah, those arm problems hit. And, while his ERA was decent in 2017, it was just 3.40. You could tell he wasn't the same guy. So you got to wonder if the year off is, is he healthy? Is he rehabbed? I guess the Nationals are willing to find out, huh?
Was it a big money deal or pretty –
Oddly, it doesn't look like they've actually announced the terms yet. It says the deal is now official per the team. It's a 1-year deal with a conditional option for a second, but they don't have it looks like they're guessing, like the way they word it here, Rosenthal will be promised $7 million. Which will include a buyout for the 2020 season with the option. Apparently, he can earn up to $14 million in next year with incentive. And then he has a vesting option that guarantees the deal for the next season. So it looks like there's a lot of particulars in it as it moves along. Interestingly, the one thing I saw here right at the top, it says Rosenthal will receive a $1 million assignment bonus each time that he is traded over the life of the contract. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. So I guess if he gets moved a couple times, he picks up an extra couple million there. But yeah, that's, you know, kind of the start of the Nationals bullpen rebuild. You know, we'll have to see. You know, obviously Sean Doolittle is still there to close. But, you know, it looks like Rosenthal is going to be one of the guys to slide in front of him and try to set up. And, you know, we'll see what other moves they get. But, you know, do you think it's good, Dan, for a guy like this who's coming back from an injury to get signed, know where he's going, and now he can really, really prepare to make a comeback?
I think so. I mean, I have the wherewithal of knowing exactly where he's going and just getting mentally prepared this entire offseason.
Yeah, you know, I would think it would make a life a whole lot easier instead of sitting around waiting and trying to figure out what the hell you're going to be doing or if you're going to be doing anything. So
yeah, and it hasn't been made official yet, but you know, working with him, they'll have Sean Doolittle as they picked up his option.
Yeah, and then we did have a managerial hiring, Dan. The Rangers have locked up their position. They're going with Chris Woodward, who was the Dodgers' third base coach last season. I remember the name as him being a utility guy in the majors. I don't believe he doesn't have any major league managing experience. But he's, you know, he's going to get the shot. Yeah, they say he spent 12 years in the majors. 2011 was his last year there. He spent time with the Mariners, time with the Dodgers, and now he's taken over the Rangers. So, you know, obviously I don't know a ton about him. I'm guessing you don't either, so I can't really say if it's a good hire or not, unless you know something I don't know. Is this a good hire?
Not Ron Washington, so.
Yeah, can we bring Ron Washington back? So, you know, and now I was saving this one for as long as I could, Dan, because I heard this one today, and it actually started to make me laugh. As you know, all the talk is going to be Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. We know that. That's just what it's going to be. There's nothing we can do about it. Well, you know, some of the speculation started today, Dan, that there are teams out there that are going to attempt to sign both of them. All right, now bear with me here, because what I got a kick out of here is they went through a couple of the names, and the first name that came out right away were the Phillies. And I had actually heard this before, that the Phillies were going to try to figure out how to do this. That wasn't a surprise at all. The second one, Dan, that made me laugh, you ready? The Chicago White Sox. Yeah. do you see, I mean, even on the radar here, that the White Sox are going to factor into either of these two guys' plans?
Well, I mean, Harper was wearing a Bulls hat the other day in an Instagram post of him and his girlfriend going voting early. And, of course, you know, the Bulls are owned by Jerry Reinsdorf, who owns the White Sox. So that makes it legit.
Well, here you go. Now, if, you know, John Paul Morosi is reporting that the White Sox are interested in Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, and here's his little comment. It says, most speculation has centered on the Phillies as being active on either or both, but Morosi writes that the White Sox could next as far as 10. That's exactly how it's written. Be in the best position to spend big money this winter, and it is going to take big money. So it's a little early to speculate on a landing spot. However, Chicago's interest in Machado dates back the last off season, and they can't be ruled out as a wild card here. There you go.
Well, I mean, can any team be rolled out?
The Marlins. I'm ruling the Marlins out, Dan. So, and the Tampa Bay Rays. I have also ruled out the Tampa Bay Rays. So those are the two. I've eliminated one team from each league, and those are the two teams that I have decided to eliminate.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now the biggest contract the White Sox have is Wellington Castillo for $7.25 million.
Yes. So, well, here's the funny thing, Dan, is, you know, it's actually possible that the White Sox could sign Machado and Harper and still not make the playoffs. So.
Well, I mean, respectively, both of these guys are pretty used to that, right?
Yeah. So, well, you know, Machado did just have a World Series run, so, you know, that might have spoiled him a little bit there. But, yeah, that could be funny. And, I mean, even with the fact that it looks like Cleveland is going to make some drastic changes, I don't know if you had heard those reports over the weekend, but they need to trim payroll, so they're taking offers on any of their veteran players. I don't know how many they'll eventually end up moving, but they're really looking to move some guys. So the division could be coming back to some of those other teams. I still just don't know if that would be enough to get the White Sox over the hump.
I mean, it would be cool, but they only have the one pitcher who's actually the guy I saw pitch against the Angels and just shut the Angels down. I'm trying to get it real quick.
You know, was it Lopez?
Yeah, Ronaldo Lopez. There we go.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, obviously that's going to be their big weakness there is where are they going to come up with this pitching at? You know, it's going to be, you know, okay, hey, great. I guess they could try to do it like the Red Sox did and just outslug everybody. But, you know, the Red Sox do sit on an ace with Chris Sale, whether, you know, you kind of like it or not. But now, do you seriously see any team really seriously landing guys? I mean, we're talking probably $500, $600 million in salary. Do you see a team going that route?
If you offset every other year, you know, pay like $40 million. Price this year and 10 to Machado and then, you know, flip it the following year.
So, you know, and then, yeah, but, I mean, you know, you got to wonder, you know, could the Phillies really take on that salary, both of those salaries? You know, I mean, I get that they're, you know, a burgeoning franchise and I guess they draw pretty well, but you know, is that really enough to, you know, to get both guys in the door there? Or, you know, then, you know, I guess the other question is, do you think they would want to play together?
Well, that one I don't even think really matters because, you know, from his World Series performance, I think Machado really only cares about Machado, so. I don't think he cares who's on the team.
That's what I was kind of wondering. Would you think it would make him want to be the main guy, more or less? You know, he needs to be the focal point?
No, to be honest, I don't think that really plays on either one of these guys. And, you know, if they're both on the same team, you know, if Bryce is having a bad day, then Machado, you know, he'll have to field those questions. But, you know, maybe the guys won't be around his locker as much that day as they will, you know, the next day when he's not performing well. But, I mean, let's be honest, Bryce, you know, he's got pumped up out there. He's definitely, quote, the bigger name of the two, where I think Machado performs a little bit more consistently throughout the regular season than Bryce does.
So, yeah, that, you know, definitely, you know. But I guess, you know, maybe if they were on the same team, it could bring Machado more of the spotlight because people would kind of focus on his play once they would see him. I mean, obviously, you know, you come to watch Bryce Harper, and then all of a sudden you know it's Machado, right?
Yeah, and I think just being in a bigger market like Philly or, you know, Chicago, either side of the town, we both know I don't think he's staying in L.A., but, you know, even if he went over to Anaheim, you know, if he's in a slightly bigger market, I mean, a lot of people think that the Yankees are just going to dump Didi for, you know, whatever Derek Jeter will give him. I'm being sarcastic, of course. But, you know, I don't understand. There's a lot of Yankee fans on Twitter and in the Twitterverse that were, you know, just ready to take on Machado. Which, I mean, I think if you're Cashman, you've got to say you're in on it. But, you know, besides the Cubs, I think the Yankees are another team where it really makes absolutely no sense to sign either one of these guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, especially they're bringing in Gardner back. I saw he agreed to a 1 year, so,
yeah. $7.5 million. You know, if you bring in one of these two, or both of them, oddly, everyone's going to know you're in a position to sell. And granted, there won't be a fire sale, but, you know, I know Russell's value may have slightly diminished, but what you would have gotten for him, you know, pre these issues or pre Machado, you're not going to get that same value. And if they were to sign Harper, you know, with Schwarber, Almora, even that one kid from South Bend, I think it diminishes their value too. So you're not going to want to give the Cubs as much if you know they need to get rid of these guys.
Yeah. So. No, you know, and that makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, even though this guy is worth it, you know, if you can't get it, you know, I'm not giving it to you. So, you know, but yeah, I don't see either one of them ending up on the same team. But, you know, again, we're kind of at that time where, you know, you need something to talk about, right?
Yeah.
So, and now, well, this one, I thought this one was kind of interesting, Dan, and I would actually like to see them make this move. You know, they're actually having the general managers meeting this week in San Diego, even though the Giants and the Orioles don't have GMs. I guess the assistant goes or the owner goes or something. But one of the things that they brought up that I think makes a lot of sense here, Dan, is they are – talking about eliminating trade waivers. Now, as you know, the trade deadline in baseball is July 31st, but teams can still make trades all the way up to August 31st as long as a player clears waivers. And what you do is you take your player, you put him on waivers. If he goes through without a team claiming him, you can trade him to anybody. If a team claims them, you have three options. You can trade him to that team, you can take him off waivers, or you can just hand that contract over to the team who claimed him. So, but they were talking about possibly getting rid of this and then just going with a mid-August trade deadline. You know, Dan, I like this because waivers is kind of goofy to deal with and stuff. I would really like to see them do this. But do you think it's something that'll eventually get done?
I think it should be done. I mean, it kind of, I think it confuses the hell out of everybody to begin with, but it really makes no sense. Because it's like, hey, well, we want to trade this guy. Oh, but you want him? No, we're not going to trade him now. Well, you obviously, you know, it's just kind of stupid. It wastes a lot of valuable time, and it really doesn't, you know, do anything in the end, because you could just put your guy in waivers and then see who, you know, it's kind of like you're dangling the carrot in front of the horse, and then you just pull it back again. So, I mean, it's high time that they kind of just modernize it and catch up with the time and just get rid of it. But I wasn't sure if that's something that's CBA protected or if that's just something that the owners and, you know, that they could just get rid of.
I
wasn't sure
this is
how much of that affects the players.
Yeah. So I think this is one they can just get rid of if they want to. I don't think they really, you know, it would have any implications there. So.
Well, but, you know, you brought up the meetings that are going on, and, you know, one of our local guys who does very in-depth investigative reporting. You know, what's his name? David Kaplan did all the talking around and found out that the Cubs really aren't big players in the Machado and Bryce Harper trade to go or free agency talk.
Well, no, we didn't expect them. Well, you and I didn't expect them to be, did we?
No, not at all. And, you know, I tweeted back to him, but, you know, this one, usually I get a response from him, but this one got no response. None whatsoever. So I was like, oh, Dave,
I mean, yeah,
maybe you should have just stayed home.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all that neither the you know, the Cubs are going to be in on either of them when you look at their lineup. And, you know, I mean, maybe I could have saw them having a little interest in Machado if they could move Addison Russell right now, but being suspended, they can't trade him. So, you know, they're kind of stuck with him until he clears his suspension. And, you know, I mean, at that point in time, they might as well keep him. So, you know, but I did see your buddy on Facebook going off about the Cubs winning a World Series with Aroldis Chapman and Addison Russell on the team and about what monsters they were. I got a kick out of that. So,
wait, monsters as in they were beasts
as in,
and they won?
As in people. No, as in people. You know, what terrible people they are for the things they did, and yet, you know, they weren't punished and they were allowed to continue to play baseball and make money and, you know, all that stuff. So
I'm assuming you're speaking of a young man, ultra super liberal now. You know, did you tweet back to him that he failed to remember that Chapman was given a 30-game suspension while he was a New York Yankee? Is that always forgotten about?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I'm to the point now where I just don't have the energy to get into these long, drawn-out arguments. Your buddy Jacob, who wanted to play in our fantasy league and then never changed his lineup after we let him play. So, he was all on some high horse about it, and I was kind of like, well, yeah, Chapman was suspended. Russell's suspended right now. I don't understand what you want. Do you want them to take the World Series away from the Cubs? That kind of stuff always baffles me. I mean, you know, how could they punish Addison Russell back then? Nobody knew anything about the situation. You know, because remember, the story came out originally – and his wife denied it. You know, her best friend or whatever you wanted to do said something it was a year or two ago, and the wife came out and completely denied all the accusations against him. So I don't know what you do there. I mean, you can't force her to say anything, you know, and now this time she came out and said, well, they were true. But again, you know, I mean, you know, what do you do? You know what I mean? I think, didn't we go through it? Perez was never charged, right?
Perez.
Or, excuse me, Chapman was never charged, right? He took the suspension because baseball had to play judge, jury, and executioner, right?
Yeah. No, so, and, you know, the bigger thing was that I think if he did get any charge or any reprimand from Florida, I forget where he lives in Florida, but it was because he shot his gun inside the garage.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you can bring that up, but, you know, my issue with it only is that when, and I'll say this a million times, and, you know, unfortunately we don't have the means or the time to sit back and go through and get a transcript from every single one of Theo, player, director, guy, Jason, and then, you know, Jed's comments about when they were drafting. You know, the whole thing about drafting Brian Schwarber and such was the fact that, you know, they aren't just drafting ball players who are, you know, are just ball players. They're, you know, going into character, and they want to make sure these guys will not only fit on the field, but in the clubhouse as human beings, blah, blah, blah. But then when the whole Russell thing comes out, you kind of backpedal on it and talk about how, you know, you can't fully know a person, which is true, but the way it was put out there, you kind of backpedal on it, on your earlier statements from years previous, but then you also were the guys who knew what happened with Chapman and went after him anyways. So, you know, you're essentially playing both sides, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, leaders like David Kaplan in the media and such don't have what it takes to call them out on it. Because let's be honest, if you work in the media in Chicago and you do call them out on anything, you might not be reporting in Chicago anymore.
Right. Yeah. You're not going to get that big, or you're not going to be you're not going to be part of that big interview press conference when you need to be.
Yeah.
So,
you know, they're not going to call these guys out because they're afraid for their jobs. And even though they're doing their job, which, you know, oddly, if it were the 60s, 70s, or 80s, I think even the 90s, it wouldn't have been a question. You know, they wouldn't have even held back. But today, you know, you can't do anything like that. That's why guys like you and I say it, and, you know, nothing happens because they don't care about us. But, or they're not letting us in anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the Russell thing, you're dead on with. I mean, you can't tell me you're the same person from when you were 18 to what you are now.
No.
Right? And then start adding hundreds of thousands of dollars into your bank account as, you know, this goes on. Because, you know, I believe he was a first-round pick, so he probably got a pretty good signing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in the majors now, so he's making six figures. I don't think he's a millionaire yet, but, you know, he's on the cusp. He's going to be right there. So now all of a sudden, you know, you got a kid that you're throwing all this money at. You know, you don't know how that's going to change somebody. You know, and obviously, he, you know, depending on what is true, because, you know, you don't always know the full story, like you said. And, you know, but it's clear he's not a good husband. Apparently he seems to be a decent father, though, so that's important. But, you know, just not a good husband. And, you know, I'm glad she got out of the situation when she did. And, you know, everybody can kind of get on there with their lives. And, you know, he's going to pay the price with this suspension. He's going to lose a lot of money. So, you know, I mean, that's what I'm baffled. Do you want him to never play again? Is that what they were trying to say? You know, I mean,
I think
are we
so,
supposed
actually.
To? you know, like I think I've asked you before, I mean, are we supposed to allow these guys not to work? I mean, again, here we're talking about a guy who wasn't charged with a crime. You know, he was never prosecuted by the law. There's nothing on his criminal record about this. This is just something that came out after him and his wife broke up that everybody, you know, because it's a hot topic, everybody started looking into. And, you know, obviously he did something. Do we know what? Well, no, probably not. You know, even regardless of what comes out, I don't think we'll ever know the full deal. But, yeah, I mean, he's got a union. You can't get rid of him. That union would sue you before you knew what happened.
Well, and not only that, well, I can see that side of the coin, but at the same time, you want to demonize him. That's your deal. But you want to remove him from that position. You're not hurting him 100%. You're hurting his wife, or soon-to-be ex-wife, and that child.
Yeah.
Because how is he going to be able to make, you know, the child support that's going to be deemed on him, any alimony that's put forth? What, you know, what is his ex-wife going to do if he's not playing ball and he's in jail?
Right.
He's not going to get any of those payments.
You know, and, you know, it's one thing, you know, if a guy gets arrested and he goes to jail for something and you don't want to let him back in the game, I'm okay with that. This guy, he officially committed a crime. You know, no matter what you think about Addison Russell or, Addison Russell or Aroldis Chapman, or technically, you know, some of these other names that pop up there, these guys didn't officially commit crime. You know, they were never charged with anything. They were never booked with anything. And, you know, I mean, I get it, you're upset, but you've got to live in the real world here. You know, I mean, there's a certain area there where you have to go from, well, this ticks me off and this is what they should do about it and he should never play again, to kind of being smart enough to realize that, okay, obviously he's not a good person, but he wasn't convicted of anything. And in America, that's kind of how we do things. So,
but you're always guilty until proven innocent, not,
right,
you know, in the eyes of the media, however they want to spin it. But it's not like that young kid that was in the Astros organization who was caught on video just pummeling his, I don't remember if it was fiance or girlfriend at the time. He's gone. He's not in the game. And he won't play again.
I mean,
he's married to her now. Go figure.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll always bring it up. You know, you have to remember, Ray Rice was charged with a third-degree misdemeanor when that video came out of him hitting his fiance in the elevator. That was considered a third-degree misdemeanor. So, yeah, you know, a lot, you know, and I know, you know, they're going to blame baseball and, you know, or football or basketball or whatever sport it is. But, man, you know, that's not their job. You know, we have courts and cops and, you know, all these other things, you know, to kind of determine this stuff. You know, you can't look at the league and go, okay, you got to handle this. No, that's not my job. So I don't know. It was irritating reading his post. And I was like, I don't have the energy to get into an argument with this idiot. So I'm just going to let Dan handle it.
I didn't see it, but
yeah. So, but they did hand out some awards yesterday, Dan. I don't know if you saw this.
Gold Gloves.
They handed out the Gold Gloves went out. Yeah. So just real quick, in the American League, it was Sal Perez won at catcher, Matt Olson at first, Ian Kinsler at second, Andrelton Simmons at short, Matt Chapman at third, Alex Gordon in left, Jackie Bradley in center, Mookie Betts in right, and then Dallas Keuchel on the mound. In the American League, Yadier picked up his ninth Gold Glove. First base, there was actually a tie with Anthony Rizzo and Freddie Freeman. DJ LeMahieu at second, Nick Ahmed at shortstop, Nolan Arenado at third, and then the outfielder Corey Dickerson in left, Ender Enciarte in center, Nick Markakis in right, and then Zach Greinke as the pitcher there. So, yeah, it was Arenado sixth and Greinke's fifth in the National League. It was Keuchel's fourth. Alex Gordon is actually – that was the sixth one Alex Gordon has actually won. And then Simmons picked up his fourth one as well. So, but nothing out of the ordinary or anything.
Well, no, because if this were the BBWWA voting for Gold Gloves, it would have been all Red Sox.
Yeah.
On both sides.
And Yankees. Yes. So, I don't remember how the voting is done. I don't know who's doing the voting or who's handing out the award and stuff. I think this one is Rawlings. Was this Rawlings that handed this one out? Because I know Wilson does a defensive player of the year. So... I just remember Rawlings was always, the baseball glove that everybody wanted. You had to have I think it was the A2000 was what everybody wanted.
I don't remember.
So, that was the big deal there. Everybody had to have that one, but I was a catcher, so it didn't matter to me. There wasn't A2000 catcher's mitt, but I did find something, Dan. I'm always looking for ways for you to spend your money. And if this one would come up here, yes, here we go. On New Year's Eve, Dan, I know you're not going to go out, anymore now that you got a kid and you're getting older. So there's a fight you can actually watch, Dan. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently on New Year's Eve in Japan's Rising Fighting Federation, Floyd Mayweather is going to fight. He is going to fight a 20-year-old kickboxer by the name of Tenzin Nasukawa. So there you go. And I'm trying to figure out here what kind of fight it is, because Rising Fighting is an MMA promotion. So I'm wondering I'm wondering if he's actually going to get in the ring and try to fight MMA style, because he's going to get killed, isn't he?
I would think so, especially against a 20-year-old, but I wonder if there's a lot of yen that's going to be going his way if he can, I think it doesn't even matter anymore if you win or lose. You're guaranteed a purse when you're in Mayweather promotions.
Yeah.
So, you've got to wonder what the popularity of this kid is in Japan and the East that way. But, for me, I think $100 is probably going to be too much. I'm sure that'll be the buy on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was looking to see. I remember seeing that this kid was undefeated, so I'm interested to know if I can find some more information out about him. I'm looking to do the Bing thing here, because that's what we like to do. So let's see. Yeah, he's 20. He's a 27. They call him a 27-0 kickboxing sensation. So, it looks like he's the number eight ranked bantamweight in the world. 27-0, 20 by knockout. He has four MMA wins, two by knockout, one by submission, and then, of course, one by decision. He's currently the Rise Bantamweight champion. So, yeah, I mean, he, you know, credential-wise, I mean, he's got, you know, everything Mayweather loves and would look to, you know, look to promote against. I'm just interested to know, you know, being that it's in Japan, what time does that mean it's going to be on here?
I don't know the time difference. I'm sure it'll still be like 11 o'clock midnight.
So, yeah, now it does say here, interestingly enough, Dan, it says the rules of the fight are still being worked on. So maybe we're not going to get an MMA-style fight?
No, not fully, but they – I forget the title they gave it, but they didn't – they called it some kind of super bout. They had some kind of weird term to it. So I think it'll be, you know, a mesh of both styles possibly. Maybe you can only kick guys.
So, yeah, it definitely looks like it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they work this out. And obviously they don't have a ton of time. So, you know, I mean, how they're going to settle things. But, yeah, I would love to see what the payday was or anything. I haven't seen any money attached to anything yet. So that's what I'm really interested in is what is, you know, what is everybody getting paid? But yeah, I haven't.
Will it be
haven't
yen or US?
Yeah.
Dollars.
Because originally, you know, Mayweather started talking about fighting that, you know, Khabib. You know, he wanted to do another one of those matches. But Dana White said the only way he would allow it was if it was done MMA style, and you damn well know Mayweather isn't getting into that.
No.
So, you know, that's definitely, you know, and you figure if he's taking this, he's got to think he's going to win. You know, I mean, because he's been very protective of, you know, that record. So
yeah,
interested to work out.
If it's not a technically straight boxing match, will that technically affect his record since he's technically retired?
Yeah, you know, not
you
officially,
know what I mean?
But it's just the fact that it would actually be a loss on it, you know, and people would be like, well, he did lose. So.
Yeah, but it's not winning Mayweather. It's money Mayweather.
So definitely. But yeah, cause, you know, the big rumor was there was going to be a second Pacquiao fight. But, you know, after the first one, Dan, I just don't know. You know, I knew the first one drew great money because we waited for it for so long. But I just don't see a second one doing that same kind of money. Do you?
No, and I think what killed it too was that ESPN fight a couple of years ago now.
Where
down
he got
in
beat.
Australia. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't so much that he got beat or the fact that it quite possibly was the fact that the judges were all Australian or any of that stuff. I don't think he can keep up with Mayweather. While we both know Mayweather has the talent to prolong the fight without knockouts, you know, without knocking him out and giving you a 12 rounds, so you're getting your money's worth off that pay-per-view buy, but I don't know if he can pull that off with Pacquiao anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I know Pacquiao has continued to fight. You know, he's still taking fights all around, but yeah, I just don't, you know, because like the first fight was hey great, okay, finally these guys are going to finally meet, you know, it's about time. What are we, you know, what are we waiting for? And, you know, the fight wasn't very good. And, you know, just kind of like, okay, so why would we watch it again? But I guess there are people out there that will buy it, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things. But, yeah, I guess we'll have to kind of stick with it and see what kind of rules they come up with, or, you know, if they come up with some, you know, so we can actually see what the heck is going on and who ends up, you know, what rules they end up going with. So.
Full circle there. You brought up Trevor Rosenthal earlier and his signing. I did pull that up earlier because if you try to go through transactions, after everything that's been done over last Friday, it was actually kind of slipped in there on Halloween.
Oh.
It was a seven-year deal with an option for, you know, 2020, which was, this one was pretty amazing. Well, the buyout was $1 million. Not so impressive right there, right? But the option was for $14.5 million. However, that was based on Rosenthal either finishing 30 games. I don't know if that technically means he's got to, you know, be a part of, I don't know how that really works, the finishing of 30 games, but then appear in 50 games to actually qualify for the $14.5 million option. So if he gets his stuff together, Big Jack, he can quite possibly, you know, make $21 million over the next 2 years.
Yeah, well, one time, you know, remember he was a dominant closer for the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
There. No, it's just. But I mean, you know how those guys with arm trouble are. So, you know, it's always an issue.
Yeah, but you know, it's a long list of transactions to go through. When I found it, I just stumbled on that one.
So, yeah, and, you know, and of course, Dan and I didn't forget. We know there's a football game tonight. I just I'm not confident it's going to be all that good because I don't think the Tennessee Titans are a very exciting team to watch. But, you know, they're playing the Dallas Cowboys, so, you know, a lot of people will be interested in it because there are still a lot of Cowboy fans. And, Dan, if you do get the chance, Michael Irvin made an appearance on First Take, and him and Steve just had a goofy banter back and forth. If you get a chance, it's only a few minutes long. I'm sure you can find it online if you want to look at it, but it's definitely worth looking up. It's kind of quite humorous, just the way Irvin kind of goes from almost topic to topic and just gets rambling. So,
yeah, well, I will beat, I think – no, I demolished Secret Squirrel by 20 points in the auction league, and I will win the snake league tonight as long as Dak Prescott doesn't go negative 2.5 points.
Coming on live, but don't forget the podcast.